Good morning, Grace Covenant Church. Go ahead, come on back in with your coffee, find a seat. We're going to get going. Just while you're finding your seat, I saw something on social media last night from the Braintree Police Department. I don't know where this is, but it must be somewhere that's experiencing the same level of heat that we are. And they put out a public service announcement. It says, folks, due to the extreme heat, we are asking anyone thinking of doing criminal activity to hold off until Monday. It is straight up hot out there. Conducting criminal activity in this extreme heat is next level henchman status and also very dangerous. Stay home, blast the AC, binge Stranger Things season 3, play with the Face app, practice karate in your basement. We will all meet again on Monday when it's cooler. Sincerely, the Popo. I thought that was really clever. So, again, welcome. Just a couple weeks ago, the 2019 Battelle team returned. And we're going to take a few minutes and just tell you about our experience. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Battelle, it is a church planting organization that also aids in the recovery of drug and alcohol addicts. It's a residential program. People can come and go as they please. There's nothing holding people to stay at Battelle, so people are free to go whenever. We have been traveling to Battelle, UK. It's actually a ministry that's found all over the world. We've been going to the one in the UK for 19 years. We are their longest standing team, and we've actually sent multiple teams in a year to do different things, but for 19 straight years, we've sent a team to do prophetic ministry. And what I mean by that is we take every man and woman, and there's hundreds, there's several centers. I'm going to show you some pictures in a minute. But we sit down in a group of three with one Betelito. It originated in Spain, so we call them Betelitos. And we just listen for God's heart over the person, and then we pray it over them. It's nothing woo-woo, it's nothing crazy, but it is profound how over and over and over again we get to be conduits of God's incredible love for each person. It's a beautiful, amazing thing, and it's really an incredible ministry that they have in Battelle. Their motto is that they're restoring broken lives, and we see that time and time and time again. So I've invited Maria and Johnny to share a little bit about their experience at Battelle this year.
Good morning. I sat here just like you for the last, 7 years that we've been here at Grace listening to that and thinking, one of these years, one of these days I'm going to go. And this year got to be my first year, and our daughter Bethany got to go with me this year, so that was extra special. It was really neat to just put a face, put a place to hearing these stories and to be able to actually put foot, you know, in the place that we keep talking about. A couple of things that I noticed was just the love and the joy in the homes. Each person that you met was just so excited to see you, ready to give you a hug, and just when we actually got to go to Scotland, which is the newest house that they've actually occupied, and it was really, they were so excited to see us. They treated us like royalty, had a banquet spread, mm-hmm. had gifts. It was amazing. And you could just see the gratefulness in everyone's heart for their place of where they were, knowing that they were in a new life and a new place. It was beautiful. And the other thing that I noticed just during worship a couple of different times, I looked around and the ladies, it looked like I was almost interfering in a very intimate moment. You know, when you just look and you see true adoration and worship and hearts that know that life has changed and that they're in a new place. And that was very impactful. So it was wonderful to be a part.
So, I'm Johnny. Hi. Catherine actually cornered me after church one day and told me that I had to go to Battelle.
Watch out.
Yeah, so if you see her coming at you after service one day, just leave. No, it was awesome. My wife and I went. This was our first time. It was a really amazing experience for both of us, but two things really stood out to me. And one of those being, I'd grown up going to like soaking prayer team meetings and grown up in prophetic ministry, but there'd always kind of been this check in my spirit that almost everybody that I'd ever prayed for, I had known and known about their situation, and I'd been, you know, like, okay, maybe I'm just praying into what I know is going on. Well, you get over there, and I wouldn't know these people's names until they sat down in front of us, and you're like, okay, God, like, I can't fake this. And so you just start praying over them, and you start hearing what the Lord is doing in their life and what he has for them, and it's just amazing, because, like, afterwards, there's numerous times where people be like, did you talk to my leader? Like, do you have, like, a cheat sheet as to, like, what's going on in my life? And really, it was just God.
Yeah. Amen.
And the second thing that happened was on the first day, the second prayer appointment we had, we were praying over this guy, and he'd come in, and he'd said he was pretty nervous and definitely was acting pretty nervous, shifting in his seat a lot. And I was like, all right, Lord, like, I'm not getting a lot. Just show me how much you love him. And, I mean, maybe that was a mistake, but the Lord just started hitting me with waves and waves and waves and waves of his love. And I was sitting there bawling, and I think it made this guy even more nervous. But it was amazing. And just to feel what God felt for him, and then to have God challenge me, like, that's how much he loves me, too.
Yeah.
And that, oh, it's been wrecking me since.
That's awesome. Give him a hand, guys. I don't know if we really need to preach after that, but because you all are involved, because 23 of us went, but really all of you went because we're family, and we all go, and we all go to Battelle. So I want to just give you a little inside view into some of what we saw there while we were at Battelle. I can't show too many pictures. We'll be here all day, but all of these are thanks to Patrick Flanagan, who's a great photographer. This is the main site, kind of the hub. This is in Birmingham. This is the largest housing unit for the men there. There's women in Birmingham as well, but they live in different properties, 20 minutes or so from this property. This is Darby. This is just, again, just one picture of it. This is kind of their courtyard area. And again, you heard we were treated like royalty everywhere we go. So this was a barbecue picnic that they had set up for us to enjoy after our prayer appointments. This is Hexham. There are, again, two different locations at Hexham. There's a big men's house with a chapel right next to it. This is actually the ladies' house, and I show this to you because this is only 2 years old. They've just acquired this property a couple years ago. It's perfect. This is where most of our team stayed while we were in Hexham. Hexham is on the northern part of England, which then led us into Scotland. Now, many of you know that we have been praying with the Betelitos for years that they would acquire this property. There has been one restrictive red tape after another, and it has been almost impossible. For years, they had guys just camping on the property because they weren't allowed in the property. But they open in March, and they're already full. Yeah. So they're already fully occupied. This is actually an old restaurant and inn. And around the back, there's actually like a water wheel that it's just beautiful. So there's like a big, like a stream that runs by. The properties hold the presence of God, all of them. That's the only way that I can say it, is sometimes you step on the property and have this feeling of like, how could one not get well in this place? There's such a peace and a powerful presence of God in each place. This is Nottingham. Again, you know, their properties are kind of sprawling, but this is just one of the locations. We did a lot of prayer. This is kind of the, depending, from the road, it's the front. From where you would park, it's the back. But this is one of the primary buildings in Nottingham. We were there on a beautiful day, and all of our teams were set up to do their prayer appointments outside that whole day, which was amazing. We bring the sunshine every year. We don't know that it actually is rainy there, except for the fact that everything is lush and green, and their roses are like the size of your head. It's just gorgeous. This is their new headquarters building. Yet another thing we've been praying for them to acquire. They have purchased this absolutely massive building, and they just need a mere $6 million to see it completed. And you know, they have the faith for it, and I know that God has the pockets for it. So just keep believing for them that $6 million is going to be gifted to them, and they can do everything that they dream of for this property. So it's a headquarters building. They also, it'll be the site for their new church in Birmingham. It'll also be a community center. They have lots of plans for this massively huge space. We got to go to the Coventry Cafe. This is actually Hexham's Cafe. I don't know if you can see it real clearly, but really beautifully set up. This just opened as well in Hexham several months ago. The men and women at Battelle work for their own recovery. And so they have furniture restoration, furniture stores, they have landscaping businesses, tree trimming businesses, and they have three cafes between the centers in the UK where they serve seriously delicious, amazing food, and the scones, I'm still feeling them from that trip. So this is the Hexham Cafe, but it is a really amazing trip. I'm going to save my favorite story for a little bit later in the sermon, but just last year, you might recall that when I came home, I told you that they had a visitor at their Coventry Cafe. Does anybody recognize that guy? Oh, yeah. So this is William, Prince William, and he and his wife, Kate Middleton, last year visited the Coventry Cafe, and I think there's still hopes that perhaps they would be the source of at least some of this $6 million, but they sat with the Betalitos and listened to them, and now they were prepped before the royals came in the door that they really weren't supposed to speak with them. That they were, you know, again, it was kind of, it's all very arranged, it's very formal, they had to learn how to, like, curtsy and, you know, bow, whatever. They had to do all of those sort of things. And so, apparently, when William walked in the door, he made a beeline for the cakes. And you see their staff, ladies, all lined up behind the counter. And Kent Martin said that he looked at them and he said, "Did you make all of these?" And he said, all of them just looked at him and went. You see, there's this fascination with royals, right? We have a hard time understanding the role of a royal. It was 1776 that the Declaration of Independence was written, and we kicked off that kind of rulership here in America. We have a hard time grasping what it would be like to be ruled by a king or by a queen. And honestly, and ashamedly so, my knowledge of that kind of rulership is limited to the Netflix series, The Crown, and my sort of obsession with Kate Middleton's fashion sense. I don't know much about kings and queens and how that really works, but what I do know and what I see in Scripture over and over again, we see that God is called our King. And this summer, we've been studying the Psalms thematically, and today we're going to be looking at the Royal Psalms. Now, these are broken into kind of two different parts. There's one part that talks about earthly kings, and it's the cry of the earthly king, and it's God's dealings with earthly kings. They go from coronations to weddings to pleas for help during battle to prayers for the success of these earthly kings. But as you read those psalms, you'll see that many of them have a bit of a prophetic edge. And they're hinting at, or there's whispers of, a king that's coming. A king whose kingdom will have no end. The king, of course, is Jesus. And the other half of the royal psalms talk directly about God as our king. You see, he's not just father and he's not just friend. I personally spend a whole lot of time relating to God as my father. I spend a lot of time relating to God as my friend, and these are good things, and we need to relate to him in these ways, but he's not just father, and he's not just friend, but he is king. He is high above. He is set apart. He is the king who rules over heaven and earth. He has for all of time, and he will for all of time. And today, what I really hope for you to walk away with is that God is a good king, and he is worthy of our allegiance. He reigns over all things and all time. He serves his subject. He's the only king like that. And he is worthy of our lives. Let's pray real quick. God, I ask right now, Lord, would you make this a reality for us? It is a reality, whether we accept it or not. But God, help us to see you as king. Help us to experience your kingship and your kingdom. God, let us say with a resounding yes today that you are Lord and King of all kings. We love you, God. Bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. God is king. He's mighty and majestic, and he reigns over all things for all times. In Psalm 93, we're going to look at it in the Passion Translation here. I'm going to give you a little commentary along the way. It's beautiful language. This was really a song, and of course, many of the Psalms are songs, but this was one that got repeated over and over again. It's actually referred to as the Friday Psalm, or the Friday Song. So they would just sing it on Fridays. I think that's pretty awesome. All right, look, Yahweh now reigns as king. In other versions, it says, the Lord reigns. And in the Hebrew, there's such a decisiveness to the language that the only way that they could think to put it into writing is to add the exclamation point. There's a decisiveness and an excitement. It's a proclamation. So it's not to be read as, look, Yahweh now reigns as king. It's, look, Yahweh now reigns as king. He has covered himself with majesty and strength, wearing them as his splendor garments. Just like an earthly king, his clothing would reveal his identity, right? The Lord's majesty, his glory, his radiance, his grandeur, and his sovereign power are the clothing that he wears that makes it apparent to everyone that he is king. Regal power surrounds him as he sits securely on his throne. There is no challenger to the throne of God. There is no competition. He sits securely on his throne. Just before the service, we were praying, and Kim Sandham, who's our service coordinator today, she didn't know us saying any of this, but she actually said when the king is securely on the throne, it creates security for all of his people. It's so powerful. When the king is on the throne, it creates security. It creates a place of being for all of his people. He's in charge of it all, the entire world, and he knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Lord, you have reigned as king from the very beginning of time. Eternity is your home. You know, earthly kings come and go, but the reign of the Lord will endure forever. And he doesn't just reign over a people or over the world, but he reigns over time and over space. Chaos once challenged you. The raging waves lifted themselves over and over, high above the ocean's depths, letting out their mighty roar. Yet at the sound of your voice, they were all stilled by your might. What a majestic king filled with power. He's to be feared for his power. But it's also that very power that makes us safe. He calms the storm. He calms the sea. He rules over all, and he knows what he's doing. Nothing could ever change your royal decrees. They will last forever. He's sure. He's steadfast. He is unchanging. Holiness is the beauty that fills your house. He's infallible. His character is infallible. He is incapable of doing wrong. He is always right and always good and always just and always pure. That's a king we can trust. You are the one who abides forevermore. He never leaves. He never departs from his throne. So I told you I was going to tell my favorite Battelle story. And it just goes to illustrate how high above the Lord is. So last year, my husband and I have led this trip for 3 successive years, which is really an incredible thing to be able to go and see people year after year. One thing I noticed is actually that people's physical appearance changes. Now, when people, there were a couple guys that came into the center, like right off the streets while we were there. And, they look like they're addicted to drugs and alcohol, and that they've been living on the streets. It's what they look this way. There's always, within just a few weeks, there's always a drastic shift in how the appearance of people. But what I find fascinating is that actually over years, how it continues to change. It's like the lightness, the peace, the joy, it's like the more that it like soaks in, it's like things just get released. There was one lady I saw, and 3 years ago was her first year. And no kidding, this year she looked 10 years younger than she did when I first met her 3 years ago. So everybody's like, huh, Maybe I should go to Battelle for a little bit. The presence of God is healing. And it's a reality. It's not just an idea. It manifests in people's bodies. This is not my story. So, so last year while I was there, I heard a tragic story about a Battelle in South Africa. And in the tragic story, and I'm intentionally being a little bit vague on this part. In the tragic story, there's a young lady that was involved. And when I was told this story, my heart broke. But not just did it break, I had this like burden for this young lady. And from the time that I heard the story for a year, it's in a way that I can't quite explain. I've carried this young lady. I don't know her. To my knowledge, I've never met her before, never seen her. But I've carried her. You know how sometimes you'll see a tragic story on social media or something, and you know, honestly, most of the time I see that, and maybe I'll say a quick prayer, and I'll release it, or I'll have that, oh, that was really sad, and just be able to release it. I just, you know, I don't have the capacity to carry, but so much hurt and pain. But for whatever reason, this story and this young lady in particular found a landing place in my heart. And I've been carrying her in prayer and just had a real burden for her. So on our very last day, it's a marathon of a day. We had lots of appointments stacked up. And Linda Bowers was part of my team. And we're sitting outside. And a couple walks towards us for the next appointment. And I looked at them, and the only way I can describe it is that my heart actually exploded in my chest. And when I saw this girl, now, keep in mind, she lives in South Africa. There's no logical reason for her to be there. But when I saw the girl, I knew it was her, because my heart was connected to hers. My heart had known her. My heart had carried her. My heart had been burned for her. When I saw her, I knew it was her. Profound. This is the kind of stuff you cannot explain this outside of the power of the Holy Spirit and what he does. And so my heart is just on fire for her. So her and her husband sit down. They don't say anything per our usual we don't let people share their life stories before we pray for them, because it just makes it harder. So we just pray over her. Honestly, because of the power of the presence of God, I probably could have barked like a dog and it would have been a powerful experience just because of what the Holy Spirit had brought in just our connection. But it was a powerful appointment. And I just was absolutely humbled and just in awe that God would allow me to minister to someone face to face that I have carried for that amount of time. So at the end of the appointment, she stands up. And of course, there's an irony too in that Linda knew all of it, and I think Linda actually knew who this person was. I think they had met before, and so they stand up, and she says, "We live in South Africa, but I grew up here, and I'm only here for this morning. Just came for a couple hours because I wanted to show my husband where I grew up." So when she arrived that morning for a couple hours, the leader of that Battelle Center said, "Hey, I set you up for a prayer appointment for old time's sake, because we've been coming for 19 years. So she grew up with our team coming, so she was very familiar with what it was. So I'm, you know, that right there, pretty amazing, right? Okay, now wait. So during dinner, this is all just illustrating God's far aboveness. He has an ability to orchestrate time and space and bring things together in a powerful way. Did I mention that we had 8 teams that day? She could have been assigned to any of 8 teams. And she comes to Linda and I. So then during our dinner break, I'm trying to play it cool, guys, but you all know by now probably that I'm not real good at playing it cool. But I'm trying to play it cool. So I walk over to them. So what are you doing in South Africa? And she says, oh, my husband and I run a program. It's called Year of Your Life. Year of Your Life is a program that my brother was part of for 3 years. What? So I said, oh, I know that program. My brother was part of it. And she said, oh, what's his name? I was like, oh, it was a long time ago. I don't know, just tell me. Well, his name's John Clark. We know John Clark. He's a legend. I swore I wasn't going to tell him that, but I did. So I'm like, so it turns out that her husband is best friends with the guy that my brother was best friends while he was there for 3 years. So it's like now it's like there's a connecting point. Anyways, do you think God is high above? I'm still processing this one. I'm still in awe over this one. That the king would care so much that he would give me that privilege. That's just too much for me. He's a good king, and he's worthy of our allegiance. God is king, and he's one who serves his subjects. You know, in the days that this was written, the subjects were the ones who served the cause of the king. Never would a king stoop to serve his subjects. But in Psalm 110, and this is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament, so the New Testament authors refer to this psalm over and over and over again. And it's because it is so very significant, because right here in this psalm, God reveals that he's not just king, but he's priest too. And he's the only king who's ever been able to unite those two things. He's the only king who will be able to unite those things. And why is that important? It's important because we see in Romans that Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Jesus sits right beside the throne of God, and he is interceding on our behalf, which is the role of the priest. The priest is the one who paves the way to God the Father. And this is what King Jesus does. He uses his throne to give us a place with God the Father. He serves his subject. In Psalm 110:4, it said, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, Melchizedek was a priest that was mentioned in Genesis. And then again, he gets mentioned again throughout the New Testament. All that we know about Melchizedek is that his name means King of Righteousness. And he is a priest who had no genealogy. So what they're saying here is that Jesus will serve in the order of Melchizedek, meaning that he has no beginning and he has no end, that his priesthood will last forever. He He's a good king. He serves his subjects. Of course, we see this personified in the life of Jesus. Matthew 20:28 says, "In the same way, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people." He healed the sick. He fed people. He washed his disciples' feet at his last meal. And of course, ultimately, he gave his life. He laid down his life on our behalf. He gave his life for us. He's a king who serves his subjects. He's a good king, and he is worthy of our allegiance. Lastly, God is king, and he's worthy of our lives. Back in Psalm 110, verses 2 through 3, it says, "The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments." So the Lord sends forth from Zion. This is the church. Zion represents the church. It's always been God's plan to use the church for the display of his power and the advancement of his kingdom on the earth. We get to participate in the grander plan of God. We get to participate as sons and daughters of the King. In verse 3, it says, "Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power." In other versions, it says, "Your people will be your volunteers." This is no army that needed to be coerced. It's not an army that needs to be drawn together by force or threats. But it says here, what it's pointing to is that when we understand the sacrifice that our King has made for us, our only logical response is that we'll give him our lives, that we'll surrender everything, that we'll submit to him in all of our ways. You know, when we really let him be king, it does change everything. He doesn't ask for just minor adjustments. But when we let him be king, we'll find that it changes the way that we spend our money. When we let him be king, it changes the way we spend our time. When we let him be king, it changes the thoughts that fill our heads. When we let him be king, when we put him in his rightful place on the throne of our lives, it will change everything. Not just a little bit. So the question then becomes, will we obey? Will we obey the king? Will we surrender to him? You know, as parents, we teach our kids obedience. And it's not just a thing for power, at least in a healthy relationship. We teach our kids obedience because we see a bigger picture. We teach our kids to stop running when we tell them to stop because there might be cars going back and forth on the road. We see a bigger picture. We can see what's ahead. Don't you think, how much more do you think that God can see what's ahead of us? He doesn't want our obedience just so that we'll be his little puppets. But he calls for our obedience because he can see what's ahead. And he can see our lives in the fullness of time. See, he's king over all of time. You know, there's many times I can recall the Lord calling me into something or out of something or saying yes to something or saying no to something. And the times when I've been obedient, honestly, I can look back and think, oh my God, wow, thank you. Thank you for sparing me, for saving me. Thank you for taking me another way. And then there's other times where I'm like, I don't get it. I don't see the full picture. I don't understand why you took me that way, but you're good. You're good. And the times where I haven't obeyed, it never turns out so good. Now, the good news is that even when I am faithless, he remains faithful. And he continues to redeem my life. He continues to show me that he's a good king, even when I fail him. So I had an experience a week ago, last Sunday. I took my boys to the river because how can you even be outside in this heat unless there's water around? Man, I bless all you people who work outside. So took my boys to the river. It's just me and the boys. And they're having a ball. I mean, we're just having a blast. You know, they're just stomping around this river right kind of down from our house. And we're having fun. They're laughing, you know, they're whatever. Well, in just a moment, like it always happens, we're walking along, and the water is right here, right at my shins. And then in a second, both of the boys who are walking in front of me are swimming in over their heads, and the current is pulling them away from me. And, you know, it, of course, time slows down. Feels like it was, you know, minutes. We're talking, it was probably seconds. But I go in after them, and it was over my head too. Just like that. And I grab them both, and they can swim pretty good. I grab them both, and I realize I can't do it. And, you know, again, my initial thought was, it was just at my shins. I'm sure I can get back to where it was just at my shins. I couldn't do it. And so, you know, of course, everything's in slow motion. But finally, like, the light clicks on, and I'm like, just go with the current. There's a big limb hanging out in the water. So we go with, you know, I take him with the current. We run into this limb. They climb up. We're safe, we're good, everybody's fine. But man, my adrenaline. It's funny, the boys' reactions were actually reversed of what I thought they would be. Caleb, it was like an adrenaline rush in a good way. He was like, I conquered the river. We're fine, Mom, we're good. Channing, you know, he's younger. He's like, I want to go home. I'm like, we're going home. I want to go home too. So I tell you that because over the past few years, I'm wrapping up, Beth. Over the past few years, you know, 10 maybe, God has been taking me on this journey of learning self-forgiveness. Probably if this would have happened 5 years ago. Now, it was scary. I recognize I made a mistake. I recognize you need to respect the water. Okay, I get all that. But a few years ago, if this would have happened, I would have spent the next month, maybe two or three, no kidding, doing an emotional flogging of myself. I would have beat myself up to a pulp. I would have not done anything to stop this dialogue of, "You're a terrible mom. You put your kids in danger. They could have died." I would have let that tape run over and over and over and over, and it would have defined my value and my worth, and it would have infiltrated everything that I did with my boys from then on. And I was scared. And I took it to the Lord. And because I've been obedient to walk through this thing, to walk out of this destructive pattern that had dictated my life from before I can remember, I was able to release it and not let it bring me to this place of utter despair. My failures won't define me. And that is not because I've gotten stronger in my head. It is only because God is a good king. And when we're obedient and we trust him and we offer him the whole of our lives, he brings healing to us and he brings wholeness. You know, the great part is we had just come off of Vacation Bible School where all we talked about was God is good, God is good, God is good. And one of the days is when life is scary, God is good. So I spent time praying with my kids, Travis and I both, and we prayed, you know, that this wouldn't be this defining moment in their lives, you know, all the things I think I know to do. And then we're driving in the car the other day, and I just said, "You guys, are you okay? Have you been thinking about that?" And I'm like, "It was, you know, oh, it's fine, Mom, we're good." I said, "Well, it was scary." And they both, from the back, "But God is good." He is good. Ministry team, come on up. God is good, and he is worthy of our allegiance. And so I want to ask you this morning, I want to make a specific invitation that if you want to, in a new way, in a deeper way, in a more profound way, if you want to put him on the throne of your life, we all have places where we think we've got it. We all have places where we're reigning. And if you want to, just in a step of faith this morning, put him on the throne, because he is a good king and he is worthy of our allegiance. Let's pray. God, you're good. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so thankful that you reign, that you are mighty and you are majestic, that you reign over all things for all time. I'm so thankful that you're not just king, but you're priest. That you're a king who serves his subjects. And God, we want to offer you our lives this morning. We love you, God. We love you, King Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on forward to receive ministry. If you've never accepted Jesus as your King, as your Savior and your Lord, we would love to pray with you. Otherwise, you are dismissed to go out and enjoy the heat. Bless you, family.